low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
This particular topic is one that we're delivering for a number of clients worldwide, actually, and it's been really interesting to hear the feedback from some of our other clients talking about what's happened and changed with the pipeline, what's going on in their own particular world and how they're managing their funnel and their opportunities differently. So we'll share some of the things we picked up along the way, some of the best practices, and also get input from the audience. One of the things I'd like to point out, as Alonzo was talking and getting people warmed up with the chat, we have two opportunities or two different ways to interact as we go through here. So the chat will be asking for your input, suggestions, and thoughts. And if you chat in specifically and say to all participants, all panelists and all participants, that way others can see your results. So let's leverage each other. If you want to share your ideas, that's great. We'll call some of those out as we go along. But as Alonzo always says on our other webinars, be generous, offer to go first, provide your insights, and you'll get more out of it the more you put into it. So we encourage you to participate. The other icon you'll see on the bottom of your screen is the Q&A. So we will be taking questions, and if it's appropriate, we'll try to hit those as we go along. We'll also save a little bit of time at the end. We'll save a little bit of time for questions at the end. So with that, let me continue on. And Norman, if I could ask you to just give a little introduction.
Sure, just a little bit. Slide on our company. I mean, we focus on working with clients on improving sales performance. We have customized sales and sales management training. A lot of that is around transformation projects, skilling up managers. We work a lot with industry partners. One of the things we're really proud of is a book we released a little over a year ago called The High Impact Sales Manager. A lot of the content that we're going to be sharing today is summarized in that book and comes right out of our training program. So any of you are enjoying the content and want to learn more, welcome to get a copy of our book, or better yet, connect with us. We'd love to talk to you, learn more about your situation. Absolutely no obligation. So with that, I'd like to just kind of walk through our agenda and just kind of share with you kind of our 5-point agenda. One, we want to just talk about some of the challenges. Coronavirus has changed everyone's life. I'm going to kind of share some of the ways that really impacted things with very much a slant towards the pipeline. It's important to kind of take a look at pipeline stages. We don't think the stages have changed all that much, but it kind of provides a grounding. Then we can look at kind of what this idea of an analysis of the pipeline, what's active, what's inactive. We're suggesting that our clients requalify every single opportunity. Things are changing very rapidly, and not every opportunity is necessarily getting smaller. Some industries, ironically, are doing well. Not most, but some. And so it's really important to look at everything individually. And then we're going to try and share some very key tangible takeaways that you can hopefully implement and adopt as appropriate within your own organizations. So I want to start with just, some of the COVID-19 implications. And I think it goes without saying, lives have been disrupted. I'm working from a den in my home. Ray's working, I think, out of his cabin in Eastern Washington. Other people are working from different sites. Alonzo's working with small children at home in the background. Some people have relatives that are ill. So everyone's life has been disrupted. Shopping is not a normal experience. Different states have different implications. Different countries have different implications. Sales teams are working remotely. We did a session not too long ago, Ray, it was just a couple of weeks ago, on sales coaching, suggesting that managers connect with their teams a lot more frequently. If you're interested in seeing that, I'm sure Alonzo can share a copy of that session with you, so you could put that in the chat if you'd like to see that. But, lives have changed. Sales opportunities are stalled. Some of them are just not moving at all. In many cases, budgets are frozen. Forecasting's become really difficult. If someone says, tell me what we're going to close in the next 90 days, it may not be all that, promising. but it's the reality. And so with that, we want to requalify the opportunities. And also just kind of taking some content from the sales coaching, how we engage with our sales team is critical, because they're on our front lines and they're having some of the challenges, and they're in many cases one step closer to their customer. So with that, I'd like to get our first engagement. I think we're going to bring up a poll here. And what we'd like to understand is just how has COVID-19 crisis impacted your revenue? Just kind of benchmark here. As I mentioned, few revenue companies have revenues that are up. Some are steady, some are down, and some have kind of fallen off a cliff. So just kind of helps to kind of steady state where as a group we're sitting. I'll also use this opportunity just to thank so many of you for attending. Mm-hmm. This is, for a session, one of the larger sessions that we've had, both in terms of registrations and just the number of people that are actually participating today. So again, fill in your answer if you can, and we'd love to share that with you. You know, Ray, you talk to a lot of clients. Kind of what's your consensus? If you had a guess, maybe you're seeing the polling live, I'm not. But, what's kind of the consensus of what you're hearing from our clients in terms of revenues?
Right. Yeah, I am seeing behind the curtains here, so I won't influence it. But what is interesting is we see that some of our clients, in fact, revenues have increased. So we have those, smaller percentage, but where there's high demand in technology, in, medical products, in some specific service industries, and they're trying to keep up with demand, and it's actually more of a supply chain issue right now to provide those particular items. I was also going to mention, I was on a small business webinar or Vistage webinar this morning talking about economic forecasting. And one of the things to me that was encouraging, and I think to keep in mind, is there will be a recovery. And so as you said, there's uncertainty and we don't know exactly how long that's going to take. But I think the point of planning for that and thinking about that, and in fact, there's some optimism around some of the indicators looking ahead over the next 12 to 18 months, right? So we can start to see. But let me go ahead and end the poll and broadcast this, because I think this really represents the diversity of our audience today. I'll go ahead and share. But Norman, as you're seeing these, we have, as we said, a smaller percent, but 6% where they've actually increased revenues, and about 18% that are steady. So let's call that 25%, a quarter of our audience is either at or above where they were, maybe last year or previously, but a large split between down, up to 25% off of revenues or up to 50%. And this is very similar to what we saw with the poll on our global client that we did earlier this week. So really, if we look at 60% are off between, up to 50%, and then a smaller percentage even greater than that. Anything that this tells you, Norman?
Well, I think when I look at the kind of the last two, which are obviously companies that are having a really trying time, they're down, 26%. That represents 44% of the total audience. So 44% of the companies represented here mm-hmm. are down over 25%. So I think it just really heightens why we need to do this. But even if it wasn't a crisis situation, many of the things, so even if your revenues are up or revenues are steady, I think you'll still gain a lot from just learning about pipeline and pipeline management and qualification and what we can do now. So I think really good. Thank you all for participating. And with that, Ray, do you want to just kind of take us through some pipeline stages and really a key concept we have about buyer actions?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we think of, we're off maybe 25, 50%, we've lost that revenue, or I think a lot of us have seen it. It hasn't necessarily completely evaporated, but it's gotten pushed out. So deals that we expected to close in March or April, now we're hoping, maybe that's July, August, maybe they come back as budgets start to free up. So I think the question is, how do we manage actively what we have, and how do we actually go and, think about increasing and growing? But we say treat every opportunity like an asset, and no more so than today. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we're focusing on those right things. So we'll introduce this idea of seller and buyer action. And, most organizations have some pipelines defined, some stages defined in their CRM, right? So from an initial discovery or conversation, we're going to qualify that opportunity. We're going to dig in and identify the needs, right? Do our discovery, help to develop the requirements with our customer, ideally. We're going to present our solution, maybe a demo, and show them how we can meet those requirements. And then we're going to get into, ideally, if we're aligned there, a proposal and pricing or quoting process, ultimately ending up in some sort of contract negotiation and close. So, you know, you may call those things different terms, but we also work through that. What's interesting is we see a lot of focus on training and coaching around the seller's action. So what is it that the salesperson's supposed to do? Oh, they ask these questions to identify the requirements. Let's help to understand the impact of the problem and discuss that with them. Let's present our solution in a compelling way and differentiate it from the competition. Then how do we prepare and present our proposal and get to close? That's super important. And in fact, our selling skills and value selling programs key on each of those steps and what those actions are. But what we often forget is, where is the customer in this process? And what are the actions we're expecting them to take as we move through from initial discussion through close? And often the salesperson goes down the tracks and is off full steam ahead, and we've left the customer somewhere along the way, or the salesperson is doing all the work without getting that commitment and that buy-in at each step. Norman, I know, and we're looking at the buyer's actions here, but you know, with some of our clients, what strikes you in terms of, if we're doing all the work, but what are we getting from them, or what are you expecting them to do that tells us the deal is actually moving?
Well, I think this is a really important concept. And I think sometimes you see, you know, if you have talked to a sales rep and they'll say, hey, well, the customer went quiet on me, or the person I've been working with isn't responding. And that's typically because we're not aligning the seller's action with the buyer's action. So we have a concept called process alignment. And simply said, that means sell the way your customers buy. And so there really needs to make sure you're using the right skills at the right time and checking in with your customers and really figuring out where they are. And I think as it relates to the crisis, or, you know, particularly related to COVID-19, where they were and where they are now may not be the same. So to your point, Ray, many deals may not be dead. They may just be moving at a much, much slower pace, though there's a little bit more clarity. So I think just generally, in any time, we want to make sure we're selling the way our customers buy. We don't get misaligned. We're using the right skills at the right time. We're checking in with the customer. But particularly today, as we think about pipeline analysis, we have to go back and say, even if we thought that we were verbally selected, that may have been true on March 15th. Mm-hmm. That may not be true, you know, today on, May 7th. So mm-hmm. we have to really think about, where is the customer and did they end up going back, or is it still even a priority? So there's just a lot of work we have to do around this area of buyer's actions.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think these are really important to pay attention. If you're a manager and you're coaching your team, some great questions to go back and say, well, then what do you expect the customer to do as a result of this call or as a result of this next stage? I'll give you an example, and you mentioned it, Norman. You send a proposal and the customer goes quiet. And so turning that around and asking your salesperson, if you're a manager, what did you expect them to do? Were they supposed to email you back? Were they supposed to sign it and send it to you? Were they supposed to set up a meeting so you could walk through and answer any questions they have? And oftentimes, I think we're so excited to send that proposal over, like, okay, we've done our work. But unless we've set an expectation and had a little bit of that give and take, happy to do this proposal, we'll get it ready by Friday, if we can set up a review meeting on Tuesday, or if we can get the stakeholders together, can we have that meeting on Wednesday? So it's bookended, and we have a commitment from the customer about what they're going to do as a result of us doing the work. Because again, I think we often do all of the work in the sales thing and we're in sales process, and we're not getting as much commitment on the customer side.
Also, I think, you know, if you think about just a very simple example, there needs to be some level of friction in the sales process. In other words, when a car is traveling down the road, that what makes the car move is that the tires are hitting the pavement and there's friction that's moving it forward. So I'm not saying friction in a negative way, but what I'm saying is that it has to be this action being taken, and your idea of bookending. So you're going to send out a proposal. Hey, even before I send out the proposal, I'd like to just review it with you and the key stakeholders in PowerPoint form, make sure we have it right. Can we do that this Friday? And then if everything looks right, I'll make any final adjustments and get you a proposal we can review and discuss next week, so that we're slowing things down a little bit to actually improve the overall velocity of the pipe.
Outstanding. We'll get back to that idea of velocity because it's an important one. But the last thing I'll mention on this is oftentimes when we work with clients and we look at their pipelines, we find that it's a bit fuzzy where they are in each stage. Or even if we ask the rep, well, why is it in that third stage? Well, that kind of feels like where it is, versus having specific criteria, and we'll talk about that, about what causes it to advance and how do we know, right? If we're inspecting it, how do we know it's in the right place and what the next step is? So let's continue on. We'll talk about this idea of the funnel. And our idea of the funnel, or managing a healthy pipeline, is that we need to have those criteria defined, right? So the criteria for advancing is based on what the customer does. They agree to a meeting. They agree to review and reveal their requirements to us. They agree to discuss budget and the overall timeline, right? They've agreed to review our proposal by a certain date. So let's define it by their actions. And as a result, we're going to get a much clearer picture of where things actually are. And then we're going to think about the factoring. Sometimes the CRM, or most of the time the CRM, does that automatically. So we're going to go from 10% to 25%, maybe 50, 90 to close. So are those factors appropriate? And also, if you're trying to forecast, that's why it's critical that you have those opportunities in the right stage, because a 1 in 10 is very different than 9 out of 10 when it gets to the lower section. So have we done all the things that that we need to do along the way? Norman, you mentioned this concept of velocity that I think it's worth spending a little bit more time on.
I think that the velocity issue is really that many opportunities have stalled. And I think it's really important to kind of check in with the customer. Is this still a priority? We're going to talk about some questions you can use with your sales team to really identify this. But at least for forecasting purposes, and even in our own business, we take a look at what's the overall pipeline, and then what's the pipeline look like for the next 90 days? Because they have very different implications on the performance of the business. And then I think also a lot of this work is done one-on-one. So people ask, you know, well, is this right, something you do in a sales meeting? Think generally, but really what we're suggesting now, particularly with the teams, you know, working from home, is one-on-one sales coaching. And we divide sales coaching into two areas: skills coaching. So how can you help someone become better at prospecting or call planning? If typically they've sold face-to-face, now they're selling virtually, how you plan and what your agenda are may look a little bit different. Certainly a prospect might be different. But we also focus on opportunity coaching, and that really is kind of sitting down, having a one-on-one pipeline review. I would even say once a week isn't over. You know, it a lot depends on your sales cycle, how quickly things change. Really just sitting down one-on-one and make sure that you're basically taking a look so that you have an accurate forecast, because I think almost all sales managers today are being asked to forecast. Everyone knows those forecasts are not, you know, going to be 100% right. But, you know, as a manager and as a team, we want to get them as right as possible. But it brings me to a question that I think we'd love to get your thoughts on. So we want to, again, get really good engagement here. And the question we want to ask is, how has your customer's buying process changed during COVID? So what are you guys seeing? We'd love to just kind of hear what your experience is, what's going on, and what your, you know, what's happening to your pipeline. So if you want to just go in the chat, Ray and I will kind of scan that and maybe just share a few of our own thoughts. Ray, what are you seeing at a high level in terms of customers' buying process?
Yeah, so it would be really interesting to hear what our audience has to say. And again, you can chat that in to panelists, right, and attendees. You know, Kyle has the first response, and it's one that we've heard consistently, which is velocity has slowed down. And so, right, it's not necessarily it's completely gone away. But if we look at, and going back to your earlier point, Norman, if we look at velocity of each stage, so how long does it typically take to go from a qualified opportunity to creating a proposal to presenting a contract? If we look at those stages, all of a sudden, you know, maybe it used to take 30 days and we have deals that are sitting in there for 75, 90 days. And right. And so we really need to scrutinize, do we know what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. Do we know that next step, or have we had a discussion about when their budget's going to be opened up or when they expect to have that executive review? So I think that's really important to think about velocity. And as Kyle mentioned, that's one of the things that we've noticed. Right.
And, you know, Brent and Samantha have some really interesting points. And I think people are more risk averse. If there were initiatives that were very much budget dependent and that company is having a difficult time, for example, someone in the airline industry had a major initiative going, there might be a lot more risk averse, or their budgets might be on hold. So we're seeing some of the same things. Most, you know, a lot of opportunities slowing down. customers reevaluating what it is they need now. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, we're seeing budget freezes. So these are just some, this is kind of validating the same things we're hearing from our clients. Just a couple of excellent other points here. Some companies where almost everything is going on hold. Things have been disrupted. And I think that's a really good point. Not just our lives have been disrupted, but our customers' lives. You know, are people available? We're working with a major healthcare company. Mm-hmm. Their primary audience are hospitals and nursing homes. They don't have access right now. They can still reach some people on their phones, but those facilities are closed to companies, you know, vendors and customers that are trying to sell into those.
Right. There, you know, two other themes that jump out to me. One, Boots mentions, I think this is great, but getting approvals is more difficult due to participant availability and the business benefit. And I think oftentimes we're seeing different stakeholders. So maybe it has to go one level higher, or there are other people that need to buy, you know, to sign off on any expenditure. So we need to go back to our stakeholder maps, right, and think about all of those people. The other thing that I think is interesting is access, as Janelle points mm-hmm. out. So working in the senior industry or memory care, like that has changed so significantly because you just can't drop by and have a call. And they may or may not be even taking a virtual call or be willing to meet. So are there other buyers in that cycle that maybe you can get access to, or other ways that you can position your solutions? But I think these are all great questions or comments about, you know, how the buying process has changed.
So thank you, everyone, for participating. We're just saying, this is a really interesting comment from Boots. You know, my advice has been to move all deals back two stages and revalidate fundamentals of the deal. I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, this idea that clients are no longer willing to introduce a nice-to-have solution. They're focusing on things that are prioritized. So I think, you know, when we kind of share our thoughts, I think most of these are already kind of come up in the chat, but in many cases, budgets are frozen. Priorities may be changing just to the point where, you know, some projects are no longer as necessary as they once appeared to be. Timelines for sure have extended, the idea of kind of everything's being, a lot of things slowing down. Definitely difficult to reach decision makers. People are remote. Many people are busy responding to the crisis. Some of the more senior people are harder to reach, and competitive risks. Competition who may have had a really good solution, maybe not quite as good as yours. They may be willing to do things they weren't willing to do in the past, whether it's related to pricing or services or additional services. So they're also competitive risks. So these are just some of the things that we think are happening now and can happen in a time of crisis.
No, really great input, and it's a brilliant audience today in terms of their insights. And I think, you know, one of the things that resonated for me was if the nice-to-haves are completely off the table, and we've had some deals that we're talking about that, which is like, well, we know they want to do it, but is the business justification strong enough? And I think we have to go back to our value selling, right, and really think about helping our clients justify every dollar they're spending and why we're the best solution for the business at this point, because I think that's absolutely right. Any discretionary spending is going to be put on hold. All right, so a few more responses there. So, you know, let's continue on here. Again, I appreciate everybody leaning in on this. You know, one of the things, and I just saw that comment I'll just mention as we move on, is I think access has changed. Certainly, we can't go and call on or mm-hmm. just drop by the lobby or knock on a door. However, people may be willing to meet virtually. And if everybody's working on at home, I know we're seeing it, that actually our volume and quantity of meetings and virtual engagement has gone up quite significantly. And so people are willing to talk about it. They may not be able to commit to anything, but we feel like it's investing in that relationship. You're adding value into the overall communications with them. And hopefully that's going to pay dividends in the future. So let's talk about what we can do to analyze our pipeline. You know, if we think it's likely it's shrunk or dried up a little bit, maybe it's moved up some of those opportunities, what can we do to analyze that pipeline? And some of the things that we want to really think about is if our pipeline is bloated, and what we mean by bloated is there are a lot of deals that are kind of stuck in that maybe second, third, fourth stage, and we really don't know what's going to happen to move them forward, it throws off our forecasting, right? It leads us to think it's more optimistic. Oh, the pipeline is millions of dollars and it looks great. But if we really start to scrutinize those deals, maybe they aren't at the right stage. Maybe they aren't as qualified as they were 60 days ago. And we may be spending time chasing deals that frankly aren't qualified anymore. So I think we really need to go back to the stakeholders and the budget, the things we're going to talk about, to think about if that's a real deal or not. And if we're spending time chasing deals that aren't moving, that means we're maybe not spending enough time on those that are qualified, that we can advance. And maybe we should be investing twice as much time on fewer deals that are actually going to get us there. Or it may tell us that we need to fill the top of the funnel, and likely will, with new opportunities, right, to make up for those that are kind of stuck.
I mean, that last point, that's something that, you know, is really, we're hearing from our clients over and over again. People are starting to see, you know, people are calling it a recovery or a rebound or a reopening happening at different paces in different states here in the United States, or happening in different geographies. But what people don't want to do is just manage the existing pipeline. That's really important. But they want to add new opportunities. And I think, you know, one of the comments that came up is that I saw in the chat is, you know, in a time of crisis, there are going to be new opportunities. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But what you don't want to do is come out of the crisis and have just a very, very thin pipe. Again, it will depend on industry and on company, but there are definitely some types of things, predominantly in the area of relationship building, that can pave the way to new opportunities that we would encourage sales teams to take advantage of.
Yeah. And you know, that's a tough question and we'll get back to, but it may be that we want to take those deals that are stalled or dormant and set them aside. It's not that we're going to forget about them, but let's get them out of the active pipeline. And I think that's hard to do, but we have a blog on our website related to this, that less is more, that I'd much rather have a cleaner, tighter pipeline with good deals that we're chasing, instead of a whole bunch of fluff that looks like we're not really sure. And as somebody chatted in, you know, they inherited a pipeline and most of it was vapor or fuzzy.
Yeah. And we have a term we use, I think other companies use, which is, it doesn't mean you have to just, you know, totally get rid of the opportunity. You don't have to put in the, you know, the closed loss category. We have an opportunity when we move something, you know, aside, we keep working it. We call it nurture, but mm-hmm. The nurture stage for us does not impact the active pipeline. And then when something we're nurturing becomes active again, we bring it back in. And that's just a good way of separating those things that are active now versus still good opportunities that just aren't active now.
Right. Because it's really hard for the salespeople to let go of those. But
and we don't necessarily want them to let go of them. We just want to focus on what can I do now? And where, you know, can I take these other ones, nurture them, and bring them back at the appropriate time? No, well, let's talk about requalification.
Really good point. So yeah, let's talk about what do we do about this, right? And so just some questions, and we will make these slides available, so you'll get a follow-up from Alonzo. But I think these are some great questions, whether you're a seller yourself, you can ask, or if you're a manager, great coaching questions. So first, is it in the right stage? So based on your criteria and those customer actions, is this really where it should be? Or as somebody pointed out, maybe we need to move that back up and then work our way down again and kind of requalify it. You know, asking what has the buyer done to get us to this stage, and is that still accurate? And what have we done, right? What has happened to move this opportunity to where it is? So I think those help us assess, you know, where is it? And then looking at that velocity component, as we mentioned, how long has it been sitting here? Is it stalled out? And is there something we need to do? And in our case, if it goes well beyond the average for that stage, and we don't have a discrete next step, right? If you can't say, oh, we have a meeting on this date with these people, and this is what we're expecting. If it's the, well, we're waiting for them to call back, and it's been going on and on and on, at some point you need to put a line in the sand. So let's look at the velocity. Let's look at the next steps and think about what do we need the buyer to do at this stage to tell us that this is a live deal and that we're still moving forward. And that action may just be they agree to meet and have a discussion about when they think their budget's going to open up and when we can get back together. I'm fine with that, but at least we need them to be providing information and helping inform and really developing a plan with them about how we get to closure. If we're not getting any callback, I don't think we can call that an active opportunity. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Norman, you know, we may want to move these to inactive or nurture if they're not moving with velocity.
And on that point, I want to just share, I think, a point that Derek made. I don't know if it was all attendees, as far as the panelists. And, you know, really, these deals should be, you know, going back to nurture in many cases where there's a marketing team. It could be a joint nurture program, really account-based. So what's the strategy to have a custom nurture, you know, nurture plan to bring that back? So I think it's really good insight, Derek, and I just wanted to share it with the team. I think it makes a lot of sense if you have the marketing resources to look at customized nurturing campaigns that you capitalize on marketing assets. In fact, it reminds me of a webinar we're going to have coming up later this month where we're looking about how to get the right content in front of the right customer at the right time, which gets to that point of customization and making sure what you're putting in front of them is really relevant to what you're working on. So really nice insight. Thank you.
Yeah, no, good input from the group. And I think that idea, and it's funny that some of the fundamentals that we've talked about, show up with value. You should always be contributing and adding value. You should be building that relationship. These aren't new concepts, but they've never been more important than right now. And even while we have a little bit more time, because maybe we don't have as much new deals, we need to be thinking hard about doing that research, preparing, and investing in the relationship. So let's keep us going here, Norman. I know we want to get the feedback from the group here on a couple of other engagements. But the idea of requalifying opportunities, and maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, what do we even mean by qualifying and how do we work through that?
Yeah, so I think this may be one of the most important points of this whole session, which is we have to really think about some things even before we requalify. Most of what's going on is beyond the sales rep's control. So whether you're in that bucket from the initial pull where your revenues are down slightly or your revenues are down over 50%, typically what's happening for sales rep A is probably happening for sales rep B. And in other words, what's going on is, for the most part, probably related to the COVID-19 crisis. The stress levels are already high. And by stress levels, I mean not just the fact that they're not hitting their sales objectives, that creates some level of stress. They also have all the other stresses associated with work from home, family issues, potentially schooling happening remotely and online. So we want to really focus the opportunity coaching on how you as a manager can help advance the opportunity. So the purpose here of the questions, we're going to suggest a lot of different questions you can ask and a lot of different ways to requalify, is to make sure that's happening with the right kind of coaching spirit. We call it a coaching mindset. Mm-hmm. So the question here is not to interrogate, did you do this, did you do that, but really to take a much more helpful, collaborative tone. And then I think it's come across in many of the chats and also in the points that Ray's made. I even see like a get in one of the chats from Boots. We want to make sure we're focusing on value creation for the customers, whether that value creation results in in closing an opportunity now or paying it forward and closing it later. We think that there's a lot of opportunity to create value for customers. It's the exact reason we're, you know, running sessions like this. These are sessions that typically maybe in a non-COVID world we wouldn't be running, but right now a lot of our clients are home. They've got a lot of managers who are interested. So I think the idea of just providing value-added services goes a long way. Here's the interaction that I think it's really interesting is, you know, can you share with us, you know, within your own organization, where are the deals getting stuck and why? I think it's a really interesting question. So,
yeah, and if I could just point out, if you don't mind, you can change the drop down from just panelists to all attendees if you'd like to share with the group. I think it's fair and interesting if people want to actually expand, and also then you'll see what the others are responding to. Okay. But we'll try to read those out as much as we can.
And there's a question that came in from Samantha, and I think I understand the question. Oh, what do you mean by requalifying versus the other? And the other for me was analysis. So one is just a realistic view on where is everything in the right stage and the velocity. Mm-hmm. Requalifying, as you'll see in just a minute, is a whole series of ways of analyzing on a individual opportunity what's happening. And I think it'll become a little bit more clear as you see kind of what the requalification stages are. But we do think that analysis of the pipeline is a little bit more almost clinical. Just, you know, what stages, what factor, can we produce an accurate forecast? Requalification is really understanding what's going on, may even give way to identifying new opportunities.
Yeah. So, and you know, if we look at if they're moving through that sales process, however you define it, which stage are we saying, where do deals go to die, right? Or where are we getting stuck at this point? So we just want to get an idea, you know, if people are seeing a trend at all, but what's kind of happening that's getting in the way of closing the business?
I'm going to put in my own thought for, you know, I think for what I'm seeing is a lot of deals are kind of stuck at the proposal stage. There was an active opportunity. We had submitted a proposal in February or early March. Pipeline was really robust. And, you know, all of a sudden, there's just no action associated with that opportunity because of, I think Will's put it up here right now, postponement on decisions and even potentially budget reallocation. So I think deals at the top of the funnel are, in my opinion, not as stuck as some of the deals towards the bottom of the funnel. But we're getting really good input from some of our participants. So I'll turn it back to you, Ray.
Yeah, and I think it is. It really depends on where the deal was. And in some cases, they're like, hey, we can't even meet right now. We're so busy or we have so many other priorities. Or it could have been, as you said, late stage. We're just waiting for budget and final sign-off, but then everything gets stuck. So as Steve mentioned, you know, stuck in the quote stage, but starting to see some more activity. And I know we're having those conversations as well, that understand budgets are on hold. When do you expect that's going to free up? Oh, great. Then let's set, you know, mid-May, end of May, June, whatever that time frame is, as we start to see a little bit better visibility. I think the uncertainty is the biggest challenge, right? In some cases, and somebody, Paco mentioned about the pharma industry, right? Things are just shut down. You can't get access. Very difficult to get any bandwidth there. So, you know, in that case, it's regardless of where they were in trying to meet with the doctor, influence the prescribing behavior, right? You know, that's been stopped. So I think we're seeing a broad cross section here.
Great. So really, again, appreciate all the input. And I'll get back to Samantha's question. We'd love to, I guess, Samantha, I'm going to have Ray walk through some of the qualification criteria, and I will as well. But reminds me of just going back to your question about the difference between analysis and qualification. I would put analysis in the what I would call the science of pipeline management. And I would put qualification in what I'll call, and maybe the more important part, the art of pipeline management. So with that, Ray, let me turn it back to you to kind of frame it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll just take, as we get into this, a side question, because I think it's important that Nick mentioned offering concessions to move a deal forward. Do I risk those concessions becoming the norm? And, you know, in our negotiation class, we would say that's the slippery slope as soon as you do that. So I think that's difficult. I think in most cases or many cases, it's not a 10% thing that's going to dislodge the deal. It's a matter of they don't have budget at all, or they can't open up and get approval. So offering them 10% and then 20% and then going down that slippery slope, I don't know that that really helps you. I think if you're talking about something, yeah, and as Nick said, he's asking for a friend, and I completely understand. If we're doing that, we need to really bound it and say, well, you know what, this is a COVID special, or this is a crisis special for this quarter, or this is something we can do right now, but there's an expiration, or this is really bounded tightly just because we want to help out during these times, and then make the criteria very clear. So I think it is difficult, especially if we try to, you know, lower our price to sell our way out, versus, hey, let's develop more value. Let's create a better solution or a better relationship.
I think on that point, what I would say is also that, you know, throw out a little bit of a trial balloon first, just say, hey, you know, if there were some things we could do to be creative here, we could create more value. Is this something that would be, that could move forward in this quarter? Or is this something that be, that kind of goes beyond that? Because the worst thing to do is to start trying to add value, or, you know, worse yet, make a concession without having any indication that that will make a difference. Because I think that does have long-term negative implications on your ability to sell. And so if you're going to do something, again, in Ray's camp, you want to create more value as opposed to discounting. But let's make sure and kind of test that just conversationally before actually, you know, unilaterally offer something, and we may get nothing back in return.
Absolutely. So yeah, good side discussion. Let's get through, or let's talk about the qualification criteria. So people may be familiar with BANT, right? So is there budget? Do you have the authority, or do you understand the authority? Is there a true need, and do you understand it? And what's the timing or urgency? And that's kind of an industry cross-section, but I think there are a lot of other factors that also come into play. We have a very nice qualification worksheet that we provide in our training that goes through and looks at a number of different factors. And we just wanted to walk through. So thinking about that, business need, budget, timing, right? What's going on there? Who and how are they going to make the decision? How is our solution going to address their need? And do we understand our unique value proposition? And do we understand the competitive landscape? You know, who else is involved? And as we like to say, why are we going to win this? Right? What's the competition likely saying? Why are we going to win? Now let's make sure we build those win themes in. So I think that's really important. Some good chatter from the group here along the way, and I appreciate everybody responding to each other. Let's talk about you know, some of these specific categories. So when we talk about business need, budget, and timing, we want to go back to the original business requirement and the business impact. And I think it's never more important than now to say, well, remember we talked about this was going to help you get more customers, reduce your costs, right? Improve your image in the marketplace, drive out maybe productivity or improve productivity costs. What are those things that go back to the original solution and why it made sense? And let's make sure we kind of reassess and build on those and see how the crisis has impacted that and see if the priorities have changed. So in a lot of cases, you know, there may be a new set of priorities. So can we map to those? Can we reinforce those? Or maybe we even need to change our proposal as a result of that. And then also, I think, reconfirming budget. How will it be approved? Has it changed? And what's the process for that budget to actually get allocated? Because any assumption we made, you know, 45, 60 days ago is completely, probably completely renewed. And then the final piece is the timeline. So as things have been put on hold, getting an idea of when do they need the solution and when's it going to start improving their business? Great. So now let's work back from there so that we can rebuild the plan for getting to closure. But if there isn't some urgency or a timeline or that's on hold, it's going to be very close, very difficult to actually close that deal. Any other thoughts on this, Norman?
No, I'm just enjoying looking at the, you know, what our participants are sharing with us. And, you know, still going back a lot to the comment we had about incentives and discounts, but really great input. I think we keep going. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, another area of qualification around decision making.
Yeah. And, you know, reminds me, maybe we need to do one of these on negotiation because it seems like that's a
that would be fun. And just topic. So you know, everyone, Ray is an expert on negotiation. He's got multiple white papers on our website. If you're interested in any of the keys, I think there's even a negotiation guide there. So Ray, would love to do that with you. I'd probably interview you and let you share your thoughts. But right now, let's get back to pipeline.
Sure. Yeah, and it looks like some of the folks on the discussion could chime in on that as well. So that's great. Anyway, let's talk about decision making criteria. I think this is one of the things that we often forget to really dive into and ask, which is how are they going to make a decision and what's most important to them, and who are the decision makers that are involved? Because thinking, especially these days, you know, the chief financial officer has a very different set of requirements than maybe the chief information officer, chief marketing officer, or the CEO. So, you know, thinking about, even if we're not talking to those folks, but understanding that when the deal finally comes for approval, we have different stakeholders and we need to understand their requirements and think about where our relationships are in the organization. So do we have more work to do to expand, right? And really tap into some of those other requirements. So I think if we understand the decision makers, the decision-making process, and the next steps, we'll be in a much better position to really help move that deal forward with the right people. So Norman, maybe you could talk a little bit about you know, the solution and the value creation. And I know this is an area that you really like to dig into in terms of how do we provide the value in our solution to meet those requirements that we just talked about.
So I think you hit it first, right, just a couple of slides ago. We have to validate that the business need is still the same business need that it was. That business need may have changed dramatically. So we should requalify what is the business need, and then we have to make sure that our solution uniquely addresses a business need and make sure we're connecting the dots for them. If that business need has changed, are there new or innovative ways we can improve our solution? So maybe the solution we had on the table slightly touches on incentives, but I'm not saying we have to do things for free. We mm-hmm. want to create value added, and we may need to align our solution to be something that it wasn't before. Maybe it's just some value added services, but we want to create a lot of value add, and we don't necessarily have to get paid for that. You know, in other words, budgets may be frozen, deals may be in the nurture stage, but we can leverage content. So those content, you know, my other partner, David, often mentions content is king. When we have a lot of content, we can share that content, enhance relationships, and we want to provide content that's very relevant to the opportunities and situations our customers find themselves in. I think the other point we have to really look at is, you know, it's going to become a very tight marketplace. People are looking to close business. We have to look at, you know, what's the competitive landscape? So what's going on? What are the, you know, who are we competing against? And today, our biggest competitor may be status quo. It, you know, we may have had a matrix where we're competing against competitor B or C, and we were, you know, let's say in first position as, you know, provider A. But the status quo may be something that companies are much more willing to live with. So we need to really think about that and kind of understand from our customer, you know, come just share with me, you know, at, when we spoke before, we kind of knew we were in first place. You really liked our solution. One, just make sure that's still aligning with your needs. You might hear that, hey, we're really not doing anything. We want to reassess our relative strengths and weaknesses. We shouldn't take anything for granted. Perhaps we had a more expensive solution that really created a lot more value, but in a budget-conscious world, maybe people would reassess. So we have to really look at our competitive positioning. We want to really focus on our key points of differentiation. And if there are any gaps, we want to mitigate those gaps. So again, it's just basically a requalification. But one of the points I really think is important is the idea of win themes. What are the compelling reasons our solution still best addresses their need? Whether that's an immediate need or a future need, we should be reiterating our win themes as a way of just kind of reinforcing our value proposition.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the questions that I think really hits home on this, and I think I learned this from you actually, Norman, but asking the question, you know, can you tell us a little bit about who else you're considering and how we'd measure up? Or can you tell you, you know, if you had to rank us right now? And I think it's a very fair question. I think you kind of have to warm up and earn the right to ask that. Worst thing is the customer says, I can't really tell you, or I'm not comfortable doing that, which also may tell you some things, but they may very well say, well, I'm looking at two others and here are the trade-offs. And as I always say, that, you know, customers will tell you how to win the deal if you ask the questions and shut up long enough and let them tell you. So I think by, you know, finding out as much as we can about the competition, or maybe there's a coach or somebody else that can help enlighten us, and then finding out what's most important and really doing that battle card of, well, here's why we're strong. Here's maybe where the competition is pretty strong, and here's how we can leverage our strengths to win that deal. As you said, the win themes, I think, is really important.
So let's just talk a little bit about what happens when a deal is stuck, because unfortunately, despite all of our analysis to get a clean pipe and then our requalification, deal's stuck. Even if the deal's not stuck, always invest in the relationship. Find creative ways to add value. Lots of things. Companies have lots of content. Doesn't even have to be your own content. You can share blogs that you've seen from the industry. You can share industry information. You can send industry trends. Great way to get to people you haven't worked with before. You can, you know, potentially broaden your sphere of influence in an organization by, you know, sharing content or get into organizations you haven't been in before. Develop a shared plan for getting the deal done. Hey, you know, Ray, I know we're not going to get that done this quarter, but let's say we wanted to get that done in Q3. Does that seem reasonable? Can you just kind of help me map out what those steps would look like?
Beautiful.
Maybe we want to do a compilot, you know, initial offering. You know, I know we had planned on deploying this for, you know, 350 training participants. Sounds like that, you know, budget isn't available right now. Hey, how about if we just kind of get the solution right and optimize it? Maybe we could start with a smaller group. And then I think I already made this point, you know, just think a little bit about what can we do, you know, and I think it was one of our sales reps who comes from the Midwest said, I don't know if it's his original, probably not his original quote. Mm-hmm. He said on one of our, you can't grow tomatoes in the winter. So let's really focus on what we can do. And I guess in some places they do in hot houses, grow them in the winter. But I think let's focus on what we can do. And the last point we really want to cover, and we're going to have some takeaways in just a minute, but is this idea of, where do new opportunities come from? So we don't want to just come out with a cleansed pipeline where we just know about the few current opportunities. What can we do to really capitalize and see if we can build new opportunities? So Ray, do you have some, let's get some thoughts from our participants, and love to also get some of your thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, thinking about if the funnel isn't full enough as it is, or maybe, and we're using funnel and pipeline kind of interchangeably, but mm-hmm. some of those deals we need to set aside, but we ought to be thinking about where can we go. And even from an industry standpoint, thinking about those industries that are doing better right now, or maybe have some unique needs that we can help. I think we want to be really creative about that. And also within certain product lines of things that may be more in need or more of a requirement. I got this from a client, but they had suggested if you're preparing, you're doing your research for that client, and you just Google in COVID impact of X and you type in the client name, chances are there's a CEO memo or there's something on their website, or maybe there's some press if it's a larger company that talks about how they're responding to this current challenge. I thought it was a brilliant idea of starting to get the insights, so now you can go back and speak their language and align with their messaging and have a better talk track. So we're starting to see some responses coming in here. It'll be interesting.
Right. And I have a tangible example I want to share, because I think we're working with a global logistics company. It's a client we've worked with for a couple of years, and we've done some management work for them. We did some sales work for them. We had a program that was rolling out. And then, in the midst of COVID, we still finished the program. Their business is actually doing pretty well because they're in, supply chain. But to Ray's point, they've kind of started to reassess industries. And so one of their industries was related to automotive. There's not a lot going on in that industry right now. A lot of auto dealerships are closed. So that's supply chain. But another industry they work in is food service. And this idea of kind of moving product globally to address the crisis has actually been very good for that. So I think, another client is in healthcare, and they're saying, hey, the providers in the big cities are kind of shut down. But there's a tremendous amount of rural hospitals and rural nursing homes that we could go into. So, we can think about where we could, which industries, what geographies might be more ripe to pursuing new opportunities.
Absolutely. And I think, understanding the impact, understanding what's going on. And as Steve mentioned here, probably first on the list is reaching out, if we haven't already, to all of our customers, just to check in. Right, to reconnect without selling anything, and you're not showing up with a pitch, but you're saying, hey, I just want to understand. I was thinking about you, and then finding out what's going on in their business, personally and within their business. And it may result in some future opportunities or a better understanding. But also, as several people commented earlier, we're investing in that relationship for the future, right? So we're starting to do that. I think also, another Norman mentioned understanding the impact of COVID on their business and helping to achieve the new normal. So again, back to addressing the response that they may have to their customers or that they're taking. Now, how can we align with that? How can we be that supportive partner? So I think that's really important. And, there's some of the things that we've captured along the way that there's no magic here. But just as a way of, really creating a call list, I'd want to think about, first, what are all the active opportunities, and am I doing everything to advance those deals that are there? And am I talking to all the stakeholders, and am I really nurturing every opportunity, right? Spending the time that I need to. But then the next category, which we call those inactive or nurture, let's go back to those ones that are dormant, but just check in with them, right? And see what we can do to help. And then I definitely, the priorities of these will depend on the individual and how large your pipeline is. But we should also be going back to every loyal account, everyone who's done business with us, and checking back in and having that conversation and talking about what's going on in their world and comparing notes. Norman, other thoughts on this list? Because I know there's a lot of things here.
Yeah, I think referrals that, you know, a lot of people are reaching back out to those loyalty accounts. People seem very generous at this period of time. People empathize and understand what's going on. And if we've done a really good job for a customer, they may be able to make referrals either within their organization to new stakeholders or influences, or referrals to their peers in other organizations. I like closed lost a lot. Mm-hmm. Closed lost implies there was an opportunity. Maybe we lost it to status quo. Maybe we lost something to a competitor. Revisiting those opportunities, revisiting those customers, inviting them to programs, not just finding out if there's a new opportunity to work on, but really investing in those relationships. Many clients are working right now on target accounts or account-based selling. Mm-hmm. Who are those larger accounts that we could really focus on? Now's an opportunity to really create that value. And so again, there's probably numerous other opportunities. It will vary, you know, based on your company and industry. I do want to get, and I know we're wrapping up against the top of the hour, just a couple of key takeaways. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of share some key takeaways from today and just ideas to keep in mind. Again, these are just ideas, suggestions. So number one's obvious, coronavirus poses significant challenges. Schedule dedicated time with each member of your team. This isn't just a group call. This is really sitting down, having a coaching call focused on opportunities. Review the pipeline stages for accuracy. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's bloat, think about moving it to nurture, or if it really doesn't exist anymore, close it. Requalify, that's where we spend the most of our time, whether it's on the opportunity itself, the budget making, the decision making process, the business need, our solution alignment, our win themes, and always focus on value creation and investing on the relationships. So those are some of the key takeaways from today. Most of the thoughts that we've shared with you, or I should say many of the thoughts that we've shared with you are in our training programs. If you're interested in learning more, you can certainly get in touch with us. We'd love to just chat. This also ties to a couple of chapters in our book called The High Impact Sales Manager. It's a pretty quick read. If you're interested, you can buy it on Amazon. Pretty simple. But mainly what we'd like to do is just to invite you to upcoming events and to make sure if you have the opportunity, connect with us. We'll put our phone number and email address here, info@salesreadinessgroup.com, or you know, our 800 number is also on the slide. So feel free to get in touch with us. We also have a blog. Ray and I are both active bloggers. And we're just trying to share thoughts. A lot of what we're doing right now is around virtual training and virtual solutions, and really focusing on how you can, you know, increase skills at a time when people are working from home. So thank you all very much. And we look forward to running additional sessions and hope that you'll join us now and in the future.
Yeah, thanks, Norman. It's been a real pleasure both facilitating with you as well as interacting with the group. And I have to say, just fantastic comments and engagement. And so I think this format works very well for this type of discussion. And what we said starting out on these is we wanted to provide a little bit more of our content. And it's really our way of investing and hopefully paying it forward as well. But give you a sneak peek and also access to some of the resources. So we'll be sending out the slides. As you mentioned, you can certainly find more information on our website. Feel free to link into us on LinkedIn as well, Ray Macklin and Norman Behar. And we look forward to continuing the discussion and keeping it alive.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.